A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've made an excellent choice, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Hello, Marcus Speller.
The Fab Four in your ears. Jim's back from Japan.
I am back from Japan. I was out there investigating why Pete goes out there so often.
Did you find out?
It turns out...
The report is yet to be published.
Well, he's revered as a sort of, as a kind of, like, deity.
Yes.
Sort of. They think of him as like a real-life anime character.
But yeah,
the report will be out in full soon.
I see. I heard the sponsors want him out of Japan. That's just a rumour. Let's get on with it, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot to talk about. Who do you think should be the new Liverpool manager, Jim?
Well, there's quite a lot has been made about how Liverpool don't have any Scousers, anyone from Liverpool in the team or even in the squad at the moment, or certainly in the first team with any regularity. So I would change that lack of Scouse feeling around the club by appointing TV psychic Derek Okora to be in charge of the first team. Because now Derek Okora, as I say, is a TV psychic. We've got these people all over the world. He's one of those people who pretends he can speak to ghosts, and there's that very famous picture of Brendan Rodgers with Bill Shankly and Bob Paisley in a thought bubble where he's going, how am I doing? And they're going, you're doing a great job, and lots of people have laughed at it loads. Derek Okora as well, incredibly, was actually on Liverpool's books as a player.
What?
At one point. Yeah, in the Bill Shankly reign, TV psychic Derek Okora was technically a Liverpool player. He did have a career.
Isn't that like every old man on the telly story?
He could have fallen back on the old football.
He genuinely was.
Right.
I've heard that before. He was genuinely.
He actually played in Australia as well. I think he finished his career up there, which is absolutely incredible. But
he's got the credentials.
He certainly has got the credentials. I mean, like, you know, some people say he doesn't have psychic powers. He says he does. That's enough for me, right?
Football is the perfect environment to test that.
Absolutely.
What's the score going to be?
Yeah, and they love, you know, Liverpool love their own history. It's a club with a very proud history. So if things aren't working out, channel Shankly, channel Paisley. They should be absolutely unstoppable with Derek Okora in charge.
And there'd be loads of ghost goals going in left, right and centre.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Derek Okora is, to be perfectly honest.
Well, that's to your credit.
I've done
don't
well.
Don't change that.
Yeah.
No, you're not missing out.
Like it, Jim.
He might haunt you.
Luke.
I've gone for a textbook suggestion. I think I sort of feel that it's already hanging over us. It's the spectre at the feast already in this this opening of the show. It's got to be Big Sam.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Big Sam Allardyce. The great thing about this now is we all know what Big Sam Allardyce is like, right?
Yeah.
So he's out of the game at the moment. He wants to get back in the game. We've seen him on TV highlight shows doing punditing, clearly putting himself out to get back on the horse. Mm-hmm. The horse being a Premier League management job.
Yeah. Definitely not Sunderland then.
The great thing about... Well, listen, this is what I'm going to go on to. The great thing about Dick Advocaat at Sunderland and Brendan Rodgers at Liverpool losing their job on the same weekend is that now Big Sam has got a unwarranted and unrequested game of chicken and poker to play.
Yeah.
If Sunderland come in first...
Mm-hmm, which
I,
they will.
Do I take the job? What... Well, if I do take it, I'll never know. Yeah. I'll never know.
I would love to. I'm intrigued to see what his reason for not taking it will be if he indeed doesn't take it. Because he's not just going to go, to be honest, they're an absolute joke. I'm not taking this job. He's got to come up with something, isn't he? What's that going to be?
He's going to have to set up call waiting on his phone in case Liverpool call while he's talking to somebody. And just as a little addendum, we all know that Big Sam has been on record as saying that he should be managing at a really big club. Mm. The two he listed in the interview in question were Real Madrid and Inter.
His tongue was firmly in cheek there, though.
Liverpool are as big. Liverpool are the big... You're not going to get bigger than Liverpool in the UK.
And it's a roomy old cheek, so...
Exactly. By the way, just for the record, Barcelona and Real Madrid are bigger than Liverpool.
Not in the UK.
Well, obviously not. They're not in the UK, that's why.
I just said you don't get bigger than Liverpool in the UK.
Yeah. Mm. No, I think we can all... Well, yeah, you do. Manchester United.
Oh, that's a debate. That's a debate for another time.
Right.
It's a debate for fans of those two clubs to have forever and ever and ever and ever, and let's not do it anymore.
I thought Sir Alex Ferguson put it to bed, but there we are. Peter.
True Detective, Series 1.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
McConaughey.
Oh, what a
imagine
shout.
A press conference, can a beer in shot, him just sort of leaning in to the interviewer and then kind of just speaking in his ear quietly.
I've got a question. Will they have to move all press conferences to a designated smoking area?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're going for sort of, you know, present day McConaughey rather than flashback scenes McConaughey?
No, flashback scene.
Flashback scene. That's good. Okay, so
No. Wait, hang on.
Present day.
Present
old.
Day. Present day. McConaughey. Yeah. It wasn't that long. Was it like 5 years, 10 years?
Are you confused?
Yeah, but he went nuts in that time, didn't he? A lot happened in his life.
You know what I'm like.
Do you think Pete is confused by the concept of a flashback?
Do you think
I watch any films?
He's got different hairstyles all the time in the scenes.
The continuity's terrible in this.
The scene appears to be in the past.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get him on his iPhone?
Can you do an impression of him?
I could do it. Hang on, so he sort of like...
In football-y terms.
He sort of leans in like that, past your microphone.
Yeah. Say it into the microphone so nobody will hear.
And they just sort of like lean in like this and go, yeah. I think we'll switch to a 4-5-1.
Good. Like
it's intense.
I'll go
very intense.
It'll put... me the Yellow King.
Are you?
Sorry.
I better answer quickly then. Vladimir Putin.
Okay.
Strong leader gets results.
That's what you need, isn't it?
Topless,
you know,
on a horse.
And people say that it never helps when a team changes manager a lot.
Mm.
And he'll be in the job forever because he won't sack himself.
Yeah, he'll find a way.
No, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. There we go. I think that Jim's got the points.
Well done,
yeah.
Jim.
Come yeah. back, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you say yeah?
I didn't even mean to. Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
It's one of those rounds where the fact that Jim won the points with Derek Okora reflects very badly on mine and Pete's answers.
The reason is because I don't know who that is.
I get a feeling that when we leave this studio in a minute and you look him up, you're going to regret that decision.
Yeah, he shouldn't be encouraged.
No. Let's move on to the Premier League. Or as others call it around the world, the English Premier League. Everton drew 1-1 with Liverpool. Not the big story coming out of Liverpool. I think we've covered that, have we?
I think we've extensively need to talk and knowledgeably covered that.
I think Rodgers knew that. He was on the touchline going, yeah, no one's going to be talking about this result.
Right,
yeah.
it's as if, when you look at the game, his team talk before the match, knowing what was about to happen was simply, fight! It was a shirty game, wasn't it?
It was a shirty game when you consider that looking ahead to the game itself and the players that were on display, you were thinking there's not that many tempestuous characters in these lineups. I don't think it will go like that, but it did actually go like that.
Emre Can announced himself.
He did. Lucas was very lucky. He dodged a bullet.
Mm,
as well.
He should have gone for that.
Very much
that
so.
Second one.
But I disagree with you two. What you've intimated there, I don't think Brendan Rodgers did know. I don't think he did know.
I don't think he did either.
I think
he knew he was under pressure because he said a couple of things the other week. And managers know, and we'll get onto Chelsea soon as well.
Yeah.
But I still think it was a bit of a shock, and I think he'll be absolutely gutted about that because he just got Sturridge back as well. Okay,
yeah.
I know this was a draw, but he's had Sturridge out a long time, and Rodgers was saying after the game, it's very hard in this job. It's been hard in the last few years because we've chopped and changed some of our best players. They've gone out, obviously, Suarez and Sterling. Gerrard left as well, didn't help Sturridge being in a long-term injury. And so the way he was talking was trying to justify his performance as a Liverpool manager. But the problem is, under Rodgers, they kind of became a selling club. Although it could have happened before that, actually, you could suggest.
Yeah.
Because they sell the best players.
It's hard to blame him for that, though.
It's the nature of modern football. If you really want an example of how...
But you could, though, Jim.
How deep in the gutter sort of Premier League football is, pretty much the exact same people who came out and were surprised at Rodgers' sacking and supported him and thought he should have been given more time were the same ex-Liverpool players who were briefing against him in the media the 3 or 4 weeks leading up to his sacking.
Yeah.
So
you will always be able to find an ex-Liverpool footballer to say back whatever you want.
Size of the club dictates that, I think. Mm.
They're a very special club with regards to that as well. There is such a group mentality that you don't see in any other club in the land.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I think it's funny because now we can look back on Rodgers' career in the past tense, I get. And by the way, I would like to say that it's not very edifying to see a manager who essentially everyone knows his goose is cooked, but he isn't really fully across it. Mm. It's not very nice for anyone. Now, I understand Liverpool made a decision after the Sion game, and I understand why they had to make that decision then, but it just reminds me of when Ranieri was at Chelsea, when Martin Yeol was at Spurs. No one really comes out of that with any sort of credit, do they? No. It's always a bit sort of
distasteful. It's just undignified for the man, isn't it? And through no fault of their own, to a degree. But Roger said in that interview, and this is why I think he probably did know, he said that the job he's had to do has been one of constant rebuilding, and it has, because, you know, when he came in, the squad needed a bit of an overhaul, and then, you know, he's got to react to losing Suarez and Sterling and Gerrard, and there's always been, you know, I guess you could say this about Liverpool pretty much since about the middle, or towards the end, certainly, of Rafa Benitez's reign, where they've constantly been in transition, they've constantly needed to rebuild. And you've got to wonder, how much of that is because if you're not in the Champions League, you simply can't get the players you want. Mm. Like it's all well and good for, you know, for any of us to say, oh, you know, they should be doing better. But how do you solve that problem? You can't just go, we'll sign Messi. Messi's not going to want to go there. It's a tough position they find themselves in because they're at the top of the second tier in the Premier League, and breaking through that is so, so tough.
Mm. They went from sort of Sturridge and Suarez to Barini and Balotelli. Yeah. I mean,
Rodgers didn't want Balotelli, did he? He was basically signed by committee, and a committee that he was on. So you got to wonder how much sort of say he had in a lot of those transfers.
In the pre-season leading up to when they signed him, I think I'm right in saying he was talking to journalists off the record on pre-season tours saying, don't link us with Balotelli. We're not getting him as far as I'm concerned. And then eventually signing him. But I do think that history might look back a bit more kindly on Rodgers than perhaps we are at the moment. I was about to say, looking back on him as a manager of Liverpool in the past tense, now we can be a bit more objective about it. While I think he's probably a bit of a bluffer and he has definitely got shortcomings, chiefly the fact that he's inexperienced in Europe, but that's not really his fault. I mean, he's going to learn that trade as he gets older as a manager. Also, the transfer thing. I understand the Liverpool transfer committee situation, but he was still playing a part in that. He still has to take his share of the responsibility for that. But it is worth thinking about what state they were in when Rodgers took over. I mean, they went through the whole Gillette and Hicks thing, which was a dark time for the club. Hodgson, who didn't fit at all. And Rodgers came in. And I know they eventually came up short. But in that 2013-14 season, he did give the city and the club a whole thing to believe in again. Yeah. And if you take that period of time, especially from sort of beginning of February that season to the end of April, they won every game. They won every single league.
And Everton were firing as well, so the whole place was just bouncing, wasn't it?
They won 11 games in a row. And they came very close to winning the title. They scored the most goals in the league season since 1896.
Yeah.
You know, and it was probably their best season since 1990. I mean, of course, they came second under Benitez, but they weren't playing the same sort of football. And so that was a real... I think Liverpool fans can rightly look back on that season with a great degree of fondness and the type of football they played.
Yeah.
And of course, Suarez and Sturridge played a big part in that, but the manager's role still got to get the best out of the players, and he did that.
Everyone was concerned after that season, though, that not winning the league would have an incredible sort of negative knock-on effect on the mentality of everyone there, and that kind of is how it played out, isn't it?
It's been after the Lord Mayor show without them winning the title. Mm. There was still a Lord Mayor show. In fact, everyone was so enthusiastic and they came so close, and the inertia after that has been difficult to overcome. Yeah.
Coupled with losing those players.
And losing those players just exacerbated that.
And Sturridge had gone out on international duty and then just, you know, getting injured. I mean, I know it's not about one player, but if you're choosing 50% of your firepower, one player getting sold in Suarez and then you lose him, like, what have you got after that?
And the fact that we're still talking about that more than a season later, and it seems relevant because it does seem like it's, you know, what's happening on the pitch now is a direct result of all that, is astounding.
But that same kind of transfer policy has brought in, spent a lot of money and brought in players that haven't really been good enough. And, you know, there has to be some responsibility. I think people coming outside of football, you know, I don't think the people who supplied the money for that had ever worked in football before. And coming to it and sort of going, well, if we're going to spend 300 million or something, we want some kind of showing for that. And they didn't win the title. You know, it nowadays, 300 million can't even guarantee the title. You need to put that in every single year, pretty much, for the infrastructure.
Well, you're not looking at doing that, aren't they? Yeah.
I think actually, though, Liverpool fans are laughed at a lot for talking about this, but their net spend isn't actually that high. They did recoup a lot of that money. So it's, I think it's not quite as bad as people make out when you look at what Rodgers spent, because he did make some back through huge transfers of Sterling and Suarez in particular.
The circumstances around his sacking are clearly timed and linked with the Chelsea situation. I think that's made them blink. I think they've thought, we want Klopp. He will fit our club really well. If we know we can't get Klopp over Chelsea, if it comes to that. And so they blinked first. I think that's element of the timing.
But it does seem 8 games in, crazy to do it now rather than the summer. So I think it's been a quick decision.
Well, Jeremy Carragher was absolutely right. Very vocal on that, wasn't he? But I agree with you. But if they've decided to give him another go, and then it started and they've thought, we've having second thoughts here, then they've obviously acted. We obviously talked about that season about Rodgers when they finished second and they lost Suarez. He knew Suarez was going to go. Why didn't he act then? You've just finished second. You've nearly won the league. Liverpool, he's got them going again. He had an awful lot of money. Why did he then
Where do you find the Suarez, though?
Well, exactly.
It's true, but look at the big sides of often, lost players. I mean, look at the players Manchester United have lost over the years, but they've always managed to do that.
They've consistently been in the Champions League and always had more money.
Yeah, so, and Liverpool got into the Champions League and then they failed the next season. And I think that the fall from grace was just too much, and he was always going to be up against it there. I'm not necessarily... I know I'm playing devil's advocate slightly.
I agree partly with you. I mean, I would say this season he's lost his way. I mean, I talked about it last week. He's used so many different formations and he's tried to keep so many different players happy.
Exactly. He spent so much money and he doesn't know his best formation. And he's then been buying players such as Danny Ings, who's a decent player. But Arsenal, Manchester City, Manchester United and Chelsea wouldn't even consider Danny Ings.
No.
I think Ings is a good player and he probably deserves his... I think he's got a call-up or if he's
he
only...
Has,
yeah, he deserves that. But that's, I think, where the owners looked. You know, he was going to buy, he's buying players like that. You know, he kept Barini, you know, players like that. And I think that the owners have thought, yeah, I think it's this one's gone.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But hopefully Liverpool fans will remember those good times.
And they should.
And when they, you know, they'll say to themselves, there goes Brendan Rodgers. I should remember to thank him.
So do you think it's going to be Klopp coming in?
Well, I think that's who they want. I think that... the thing they have to consider with Klopp is that while he's a good fit and he looks like one of those rare examples of a manager who genuinely does fit a club really well, I mean, it seems like a really natural thing for them to move for him. And there are a lot of similarities between Liverpool and Dortmund. The only sort of real difference I can see is the challenge ahead of him at Liverpool is harder. I mean, the reason for that is because in Germany, the spectre of Bayern Munich just hangs over everyone.
It tends to be Bayern and one other, doesn't it?
Yeah, whereas in England, you've got Chelsea, City, certainly, and probably United as well. Mm-hmm. So he's got to overhaul three clubs rather than just one.
Arsenal.
Three clubs at least. And so he's proved able to do it. Like, he won a couple of league titles and he won the double in 2012, didn't he, with Dortmund? And they got to a Champions League final. So, I mean, he has got the pedigree and he does seem like a good fit, but I think it will be a big challenge for him.
I mean, Klopp himself, you know, he will want to come into a league where he thinks he has a realistic chance of winning that league, and I just don't think he'll have that at Liverpool.
Especially, so you don't think he'll take the job?
They currently have it. I don't know, because he's on sabbatical, isn't he? Big jobs come up in football. It's just how it happens. You know, football changes really, really quickly. We all know that. He'll know that. He's a very astute man. I think he might wait
His stock's not going to fall.
I don't think his stock will be higher, because I think if he takes a Liverpool job, it's a hard job, it's a big microscope, and I think he'll have a lot more trouble than he has.
I also think if you take the Liverpool job, then moving to another club in England, which he may want to do at some point, a bigger club with better resources or whatever,
becomes
impossible almost, doesn't it? So, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him in the Premier League, but I don't know if he will.
I understand the point you make, Jim, that he doesn't have to sort of decide now. But if you think about it, Arsene Wenger's not going to go anywhere soon. Chelsea's an interesting one. Manchester City are probably going to line up Pep Guardiola after that. Manchester United, there's talk of maybe Giggs getting promoted within. Klopp, I think, wants to manage in England. I think he's probably made that reasonably clear. actually, few jobs like this suddenly open up when he's free. And also, does he wait? Oh, well, I'll wait till next summer. Well, that's a long time out of his profession.
All I'm saying is that, you know, that I wouldn't put it past Klopp to see it like that. I would like to see him at Liverpool. I think we all would.
Yeah, I'd like to see him in the Premier League.
For
sure.
I would hate to like a Chelsea manager, so it's difficult for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, McLaren's not safe in his job, Pete. You could be going down to Newcastle.
Imagine Klopp at Newcastle. Yeah. Glorious.
Out of all of the clubs in the Premier League, I would say it's probably a better fit. He likes a giggle.
Move on.
Apparently Rodgers found out over the phone.
Yeah. Isn't that,
which I think,
that he found, he'd already been told by Ian Eyre, though,
yeah,
in person. So I don't think he actually found out over the phone, did he?
Oh, no, I thought he was told over the phone.
But I thought the decision was explained to him by someone at Fenway Sports after he'd already been told by Ian Eyre.
It's a bit of a walk to get back to Anfield from Goodison Park. Do on the phone.
We'll wait until the worst, most pretentious autobiography comes out.
Oh, that'd be great. It wasn't the... if it was a phone call, and people might think that's a bit, I don't know, inappropriate for want of a better word, it wasn't the worst one that happened recently. There was a club in Bosnia that announced the sacking of their manager on their official Facebook page without telling the manager first. And the now former manager, to his eternal credit, liked the post and then replied, "Thanks for the notice."
That's so good.
I love the fact that he liked it.
That's so
great. That's the best bit.
That dislike button cannot come quick enough.
In fact, I think I would have preferred that had he not have put "thanks for the notice," just liked it.
Yeah.
I just like if you put like a meme on there or something.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. We're going to talk about Newcastle and more Premier League stuff after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
They're men of the world, not your regular rebel. They love a bit of that.
Hashtag travel.
At one point during Saturday's action, Newcastle and Sunderland were both winning.
Wow.
Let's take a moment.
Wow.
Let's take a moment.
Take a few and have a think about it.
Yesterday.
Literally they had. Yeah.
Yeah. Dick Advocaat's quit as Sunderland manager. Yeah. No surprise there.
Dick out.
Yeah.
I've always thought that
get your dick out.
I've always thought that Dick Advocaat seems like a good egg. You know, he seems like a nice fella, and I'm sad to see him go.
Slightly egg shaped.
Yeah, a little bit
on the way.
But what he's done, he's tried. He's got
Advocaat is very eggy. Carry on, Luke.
Can I?
No,
don't try about eggs and Advocaat.
Sensibly about football.
Sorry.
Right.
I was just going to say that Advocaat got a taste of the Sunderland biscuit, and that's what tempted him back in for another season.
Right.
Too many.
You tell us off for talking about eggs and Advocaat, and you bring biscuits into it.
Yeah.
You had a platform to build on
that. That's what we're waiting for. There's you had time to change what you're going to say.
There's never a bad time for a biscuit.
Fair.
I mean, there was
when
a bit of
swimming, actually.
When he left Sunderland, There was a bit of a scramble.
Mate, we're on biscuits
to get him
now.
Back. No, I'm bringing it back to eggs. Okay. If you wouldn't mind. Oh, right. Don't worry about it. It's gone. It was never really there. He's gone. Ellis Short, the chairman of Sundon, of course, said he was very sad that Advocaat decided to leave, but said it was a testament to the Dutchman's character that he didn't seek any financial settlement, which he said was unusual in football. I know he's quit. So the thought of, I quit and can you give me some money?
Yeah.
You know,
but by the sound of it, that is quite a normal
thing.
Well,
that's why I added that last little bit there from Mr. Short's statement.
It's a sort of idea that makes you less sympathetic towards managers when they lose their job. Right?
Yeah.
Because they get massive payoffs.
But he clearly was liked at Sunderland, and you saw him when he was, had tears in his eyes when he kept them up. I think he invested emotionally a lot in the club, more than perhaps what he thought he would, just being there for a season, because they've got a great fan base, and it is a one-club town or city, sorry.
Yeah.
And that's probably why he was reeled in again to do another season.
Well, hence me saying it. I mean, you've got a taste of the biscuit. It's a big football city. And so for him to get that emotional attachment from keeping them up, it was probably very hard for him to walk away, and in the end he wasn't able to do so. So that's why he's gone a step too far and been and lost his job. But the thing is, it could have been so different. I mean, they went 2-0 up against West Ham. They could have gone 3-0 up.
Yeah.
And they would have been 3-0 up at half-time, and I think that's a different game. Mm. And unfortunately, the typical Sunderland hapless defending meant that Jenkinson nipped it. Jenkinson!
Second ever goal.
The biscuit got soggy.
It did. Indeed. And they went in at 2-1.
We won't ask how.
And then the writing was on the wall.
What I like about the Sunderland losing their manager, so I didn't mean to giggle at that time, but
you can't help
if Sunderland ever need a short-term boost, getting rid of their manager invariably works.
Yeah.
And it's 2 games before the derby, so that usually works for them.
Coming up against your beloved Newcastle.
I think the last
United.
3 times with Newcastle
five,
have played,
isn't it?
They've lost their manager before. It's actually
I saw an amazing fact that Sunderland haven't won a game in August or September since like 2011.
Wow.
Like it's years since they won a game in August or September.
Starting slow.
Hmm. Yeah, but it seems like every season they do this great escape thing and they learn nothing from it each time. Yeah.
I think they should adopt the Watford model. People say, they've
just
had
utter chaos.
Yeah, but they've had 9 managers in 10 years or whatever the stat is, something similar to that. They need stability, blah, 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 blah. No, but look at Watford. They change a manager every 10 minutes.
Just do what you like.
And they're great. They do.
Get an Italian club under the belt as well.
Get a guest manager for each game.
That would be class.
It's as if they've got like a board of directors, but that board of directors is just loads of different suggestions on bits of paper in a tombola. And like, they meet once a month and just decide what they're going to do from that.
That would probably be closer to the truth than any of us would dare imagine.
But Sunderland, they have a sort of, I think they have like a transfer committee as well. Certainly they have someone in charge of it, and it's not as simple as it used to be with the manager sort
That's
of making decisions over transfers.
That's the
whatnot.
Reason why Big Sam may not go there.
Absolutely. But it's kind of a similar situation to at Liverpool, isn't it, for Advocaat? He couldn't get the players he wanted. And, I mean, Yunus Kabul's come in and had a tough time. And, like, basically, they've not improved on what they had in a squad that really nearly went down. And there's no one in the league who looks as bad as them right now. The promoted clubs look a lot.
Newcastle,
well, yeah. Sort of lump them all in together, Pete.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
Just saying, innit?
Well, maybe you guys could merge. How would you?
I'm sure no one would have a problem with that, to be honest. Yeah, the magpies and the black cats. Historically, I imagine those animals would get together quite well.
Yeah. But who do we think then? Do we think it's Sam Allardyce, or there's talk of Sean Dyche as well?
Kloppo.
Imagine that. Let's talk about Michael Laudrup.
Laudrup would be an interesting one. It's a tough job, though, isn't it?
Because
you look
tough
at
job.
How many managers have gone through it. Like, surely that makes it an even harder job for those being appointed, because there's going to be so many managers there looking at that going, nah, you're all right.
Mm.
Do we think Sam Allardyce?
Just the turnover of players and the turnover of managers. I mean, of course, there's always going to be a manager out there who thinks he can do the business, because that's the nature of the characters you get in management, in the Premier League especially.
Mm.
But it shouldn't be taken lightly. I think Big Sam would take the opportunity because he's egotistical enough to think he can turn it around, which is not a criticism. I mean, he's
not necessarily egotistical. It's confident.
He's got a great, and to be fair to him, Mark, he's got a great record in doing so. The West Ham thing is a controversial one to bring up, but I mean, he took him back to the Premier League and kept him there, and they're now like an established Premier League
Absolutely.
Side.
So that's all he's doing.
Exactly.
It's nice that the two managers that have lost their jobs in the two positions that are available right now are way out of reach of the Harry Redknapp helicopter.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say
his knees would never get all the way up to Sunderland.
Yeah, because of course he lives on the south coast and would just never travel.
Nah. He did. I know this is going to sound ridiculous, and I'm not saying this to undermine Liverpool, but Redknapp did something in the press about 2 weeks ago, and I didn't think much of it at the time because Rodgers was still in a job.
Nah.
And it sounded like the sort of stuff he used to say when he was asked for a job about Liverpool. Honestly, he did.
Really?
That's fascinating.
If there's one club that could tempt old Redders from his job down the south, his house down on the south coast, it would be Liverpool. He came very close to taking the Newcastle job, but he didn't take it because they wouldn't give him a private jet. Yeah. To go back and forward.
Every
Maybe
day.
Sunderland will.
what, Liverpool?
He was on a good commute every day.
Jim, shut up with Sunderland. I'm trying to link into Liverpool here.
Yeah.
It's much funnier.
Yeah.
Sunderland, he wouldn't take the Sunderland job, but I'll tell you what, if Redknapp was offered it, he'd take Liverpool.
How far is John Lennon Airport?
About 40 minutes.
Yeah. 40 minutes. Could we change the nickname of the club from the Reds to the Rednaps?
To the Reds. Get his son as an assistant manager.
Former player.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's in the family.
One person we haven't mentioned for Sunderland, mm-hmm. big Nigel Pearson.
Well, I was about to say Pearson. Pedigree of, keeping the A team up in the Premier League.
He did manage Newcastle once, though.
On the caretaker basis.
Is that enough to
rule him out?
Steve Bruce is a Geordie. He still did the job.
Bruce has done Sunderland.
But that's what I mean. He's a Geordie and they accepted him.
No, but he never really had a history of Newcastle.
Yeah, but he is a Geordie. That's what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
And Sunderland hated him for a while.
Pearson can handle that. If there's one person who thrives in utter chaos, which, to be fair, he mostly creates himself, it is Nigel Pearson. It's actually a perfect fit.
They need a rocket up their backsides, and Pearson is the man to launch that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, good. There we are. We've solved that one. What about Newcastle? They did lead. I mean,
They did lead.
And it was McLaren's man. He's been talking him up.
It was a tidy little finish, a nice little pass. It was looking great.
Mitrovic, his name escaped me for a minute there.
If McLaren's been talking him up, it's probably time for the weekly mention of Pete talking him up and comparing him to Alan Shearer.
Yeah.
Not that you get away with that one.
I compared his physicality to Alan Shearer.
I've got the direct quote.
I've got
the direct quote here if you want it. I'll be very surprised if Mitrovic doesn't break Alan Shearer's Barclays Premier League goal scoring of 260 strikes.
This season, I believe he said.
This season alone.
Luke, by Christmas. I think you're overestimating how much rubbish I say in a day. That sort of stuff all the time.
But it was a nicely taken goal.
Yeah. Defend yourself, man. You never said that.
It did look as if Newcastle were sort of happy to just have led.
Yeah.
Like that, they could take that from the game.
It's a start.
Yeah. It's a pick.
We'll try for like another 10 minutes.
Yeah. But Aguero's got an almost identical stooping header above 5 minutes
later. McLaren just go, all right, yeah, Aguero's my fantasy football captain.
I like to think that after the game, McLaren took all the players back into the dressing room, got the old whiteboard out, wrote Manchester City 6, Newcastle 1, and then just put a circle around the 1 and just went, baby steps. Yeah. Have a good week.
After the first half, good. Yeah. All right, that's good. No one can change that.
You've not lost that. That's bankable. Right?
two of those in a game and you're away.
Yeah. You know, like the little numbers underneath the main result on the BBC website? Yeah. It says HT. Yeah. 1-1. We'll take it. But I think at the end, McLaren just sort of went, look, Aguero's unplayable when he's like that, but if you could limit him to 4 goals a match, that'd be fantastic.
We only gave him 10 touches. Yeah, but 5 of them were goals.
He got sent off with half hour left.
I know. That was super.
He was carrying a knock.
When people were talking about Aguero getting subbed off with half hour left and saying, I would be gutted about that, I was thinking, that is an insult to the proud city of Newcastle. Yeah.
He just wanted to pop off and enjoy the nightlife.
We've not seen someone score 6 in a Premier League game.
No.
And he was on for that.
It was really disappointing, wasn't it, that he had to come
off. Sorry, can I just correct you? He was on for about 12. 6 would have been a disappointment at that
point. Do you think the Premier League made a call and went, look, come on, we want to keep this record bubbling over for a bit?
After the game, McLaren was talking up the positives in his post-match interviews, and there's points where you've got to think, I know you've got to be positive, but come on, Steve.
Yeah, you've got to come on. 6-1.
Deary me. Yeah. Pete, are they buggered?
Norwich next week.
There we are.
Come on. And then Sunderland. The Sunderland roasting we get every season.
I thought De Bruyne's got, or De Bruyne? Do we
De Bruyne,
call
yeah. De Bruyne, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Nice goal.
You know the one. It was a lovely goal. Possibly fortuitous.
I think he meant it. I think
it was a very deft touch.
If he didn't mean it, and he had a lot of time to hit it, so he clearly thought about it. If you don't mean that, it's a really odd decision otherwise.
But it could have spun off his foot. But if he did mean it, one of the goals of the month.
We're all about football as entertainment on this show, and I think we should just give him the benefit of the doubt. What an entertainer.
There we are.
Against the home of the entertainers, Newcastle.
He looks about 10 as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Imagine what he's going to be like when he's a full-grown adult.
Well, I for one would like to applaud him because, I mean, August and to a certain extent September is going to be the trickiest month for him given that he is especially prone to sunburn. Mainly in the running, if he's an important player for them this season, which I think he will be, in the running in May, if they need to get results, he's going to need to slap on that sunblock.
Yeah.
That's the biggest investment they can make.
He's still going to be playing in Manchester.
True, Manchester's...
Yeah. 300 days a year.
Just watch out for away games in London, and Bournemouth away will be a tough one. Well, if they've got Bournemouth away in May...
The tropical south coast of England.
The beautiful city of Bournemouth.
Well, I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
They've got palm trees in the centre of that city, I tell you. I wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, have they really?
Yeah, they're genuinely.
I did not know that.
Just all I'm saying is the biggest investment you can make now, in between now and the end of the season, you haven't got to wait for the transfer window, some block for De Bruyne.
SPF.
I just think he's permanently embarrassed.
The most, possibly, but the most susceptible man to sunburn in the Premier League since Paul Scholes.
Or maybe he's just, he's haunted by ghosts and he can see them all the time.
Stop going on this. You've had your points.
The ghosts.
Early on, and that's enough. Let's move on to Chelsea.
Oh, yes, please.
I want to make it clear. One, I don't run away. Two, if the club want to sack me, they have to sack me because I'm not running away from my responsibilities. And then Mourinho also went to say third, and I think it's more important than the first and second. It's a crucial moment in the history of the club. You know why? Because if they sack me, they sack the best manager this club had had.
It was 7 minutes long, that rant, wasn't it?
Like, it's a bit like... Josie, you clearly think you're going to be sacked, don't you?
He's playing mind games with his own board.
It's brilliant.
And himself. It's great.
Fantastic.
It's Shakespearean. It's like Macbeth. It's incredible.
It is a bit like Macbeth. I was going to say it's a bit like Gollum and the Ring. The Ring is Mourinho's mind games and they've completely consumed him.
Absolutely.
And now he has to go and live in a cave.
He really is basically, he's goading them. Go on, sack me. Sack me. But go on. You can't sack me because I'm the best manager we've ever had.
They've backed him today, haven't they? He's frightened them into it. But it's interesting what he says about this being a crucial period in their history, because what he's obviously referring to is the short-termism that has been present at Chelsea since Abramovich took over, because no one's been there for that long. And, you know, we know that Mourinho's never done three seasons at a club anywhere, and he's...
No, yeah, he did three seasons at Real Madrid.
More than three seasons.
And
this is him saying, look, let's build a dynasty. You know, you got to trust me through a difficult period, but you know how good I am. I've proven how good I am. Just let's get through this.
This fart has become a shart, and it may get worse, or it may get better. I do
agree with some of what you said there, Jim. I think that...
But not all.
It is...
just saying that's what he's doing.
But in fairness to Mourinho...
I do agree with you. In fairness to Mourinho,
we can mock the delivery and mock the sort of seven-minute rant, but the third point he makes in that is actually true. I mean, he is their best-ever manager.
Yeah, that is
the case. So you would argue that even in the short-termism of the Premier League in the modern day, he's still afforded a little bit of time.
It did...
He's not doing himself any favours by doing this, but the points he's making are fairly sound. The only problem is, I think that there's real factions in that dressing room. I can't think of any other reason why he's playing Ivanovic. The only reason I can think of why he keeps playing Ivanovic and not singling him out for criticism is because he's a loyal player.
Like,
he's
on his
side.
Line.
He's on his side, whereas some other players in that dressing room aren't. And I think it's the same for one or two others as well. Mm. And it really is bizarre to think of why... He's not moving Azpilicueta over and playing Baba Rachman, who he was after for ages.
Really strange one, that.
So there's definitely factions in that dressing room. I thought the funniest thing he said was, no one really picked up on this. The funniest thing I found that he said in that post-match interview was that he seemed to indicate that he felt that Falcao should have had a penalty because Chelsea aren't doing very well.
Yes, but the thing with that is Falcao was on the way down anyway after the goalkeeper had gone for it, which he has every right to do. I mean, it wasn't a penalty.
I think it wasn't a penalty.
I think the referee actually did really well to not give that as a penalty.
Southampton should have had
position.
A penalty.
Southampton could have had a couple, I think. Mm. The shirt pull.
That was blatant.
Yeah, and the foul on Mane as well.
That was Ivanovic as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mane had a brilliant day, didn't he?
He did.
Terrorised them.
He's a great player, Mane.
They should have legitimately had, probably, if you include, like, there's two penalty shouts, one which was
they
absolutely
should have won
nailed
4 or 5.
On. I think they should have won 5-1. Yeah.
imagine if they won 5-1 at Stamford Bridge. But Mourinho's been saying he's going to play Loftus-Cheek, and he has actually publicly called out Matic and Ivanovic in the past 24 hours, which, you know, he's
so that's
he's
the
not
first
done.
Time for Ivanovic.
Yeah, he's also said the reason he took off Matic was because he needed to put another striker on, and Cesc Fabregas is better at coping emotionally when he's in bad form. So he's backhanded, you know, compliments to Fabregas there as well.
Yeah.
So he has now got to the point where he has criticised Matic, Ivanovic and Fabregas directly.
I don't know the exact stats around this, but for me, the sub for a sub is the
brilliant
legitimate way of telling that a manager lost the plot. Yeah, I'd love to see the stats on how long a manager keeps his job after he subbed for sub someone.
But like you said, he took him off because he didn't need a defensive midfielder anymore because they needed to go for it.
Yeah.
Mm. That's fair.
Tactically it makes sense.
But with Jose sort of talking about his record, I'm the best manager you've ever seen at Chelsea, it does make you go into Wikipedia and look at the win ratios of each manager. So Avram Grant had a 67% win average, and Jose Mourinho first time round had a win average of 67% as well.
So and get Avi back in.
Uncle Avi. Yeah. You know who's got a higher average in both of them people?
Rafa yeah. Benitez.
Ray Wilkins.
100%. Oh,
100%. Bobby Gould, win ratio of zero.
Okay.
The Gould father.
Graham Ricks has a bit of a record, but the less said about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, that's 100% in some sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 10 years long, you might say.
Uh-huh. Okay, you're finishing on Graham Rich. Yeah, probably for the best. I thought to myself, you know, Chelsea fans won't like me saying this, but in a weird twist of fate, Rafa Benitez loses his job at Real Madrid, Jose Mourinho, swap him back.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be incredible, wouldn't it? Can we also give some credit to Will.i.am, who got his 4-3 kick in four games?
Yeah, yeah. Excellent.
I think he meant that one.
Yeah. Perfect.
It was a beauty. Yeah, I mean, it is so strange, but I say this every week now, but surely Chelsea are going to turn around. He had to fight a lot of fires at Real Madrid. He managed to get that back to some sort of respectable level in terms of semi-final Champions League and second in the league to a wonderful Barcelona side, although ultimately it wasn't enough to keep him in the job. You wouldn't imagine this will continue much longer with Chelsea.
Well, next time out, I think they're at home to Aston Villa.
Perfect.
International break now.
Yeah, which helps.
But home to Aston Villa. Yeah. Aston Villa, I know we're not talking about Aston Villa this week, but their next six games are absolutely horrendous.
Tell you what, every week goes by, I think old Lukey Moore's prediction. Mm. Yeah.
When he got the job, I said he'd be out of the job by the end of November.
Yeah.
Did you say the end of November?
The 31st of November, so it would sound more specific.
No, I think he said the 30th.
Yeah, there is no 31st in November. Yeah.
Well, you should have done that.
Oh, go on then, Jim, while you're here. Arsenal 3, Manchester United. Now, your beloved Gunners were at the races.
I came back from Japan yesterday and I got... I turned my data back on, and the game was about 25 minutes in. I'd sort of forgotten about it. It's like, oh yeah, the Arsenal Man United game's on, and generally we lose that, and I was sort of dreading looking at it, and I was thinking, oh god, for once can we just be like 3-0 up already? And then we were I felt like I was god. It was absolutely amazing. Maybe that's how
it
works.
Are you taking responsibility for it?
Yeah, and for everything now. I think that's how it works. You're god. Everyone's god for like 10 seconds a time. That's how it felt.
Are you pleased you got 10 seconds specifically for Arsenal?
Yeah.
I wasted it at all.
There was a man on the train explaining it to his 3-year-old daughter who could well believe it. He was going, I can't believe it. Can you believe it? She's going, yeah. I felt like going, she's three. Oh, yeah. She's going to be...
That's
you've
brilliant.
Just explained the sun to her.
It's 3-0 in a football match.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was great. Per Mertesacker put out a brilliant tweet afterwards, which
he
said,
did.
Synchronised football. Judges score, Arsenal 3 points. Wonderfully, creatively smart.
It's exactly how you'd imagine a German to have a go at humour for the first time.
Absolutely, yeah. But it was a fantastic performance from Arsenal. One of the best performances we've seen at the Emirates in literally years. Blitzed United. Who could have been anyone? They just looked like any team. I remember the feeling was genuinely similar to after the Stoke game, where you just think, should have had more.
Yeah.
Like, United did not turn up.
I think that they got wind of Louis van Gaal talking about Ashley Young maybe playing fullback and targeted him.
Yeah. Yes, maybe.
And the coverage of that game, which you probably wouldn't have seen, but you have seen subsequently, is that... during the post-match analysis of that game is when Jamie Carragher and Thierry Henry in the Sky Sports studio got news that Brendan Rodgers had been fired. And Thierry Henry grabbed Jamie Carragher's leg.
It was so camp.
And Jamie Carragher was stunned. And I really love
what someone said
on Twitter. That's the closest Carragher's been to Henry in his entire career.
Very good.
Very, very good.
It's worth having a look online if you can see the picture, because Carragher's face is an absolute picture.
Mm. Yeah. One thing that was great from an Arsenal point of view as well was us being 3-0 up and Petr Cech stopping it being 3-1 just before half time. And, you know, if it goes in at 3-1, those nerves come in and you think, well, could there be a comeback on? And so often against Arsenal, yes, there can be a comeback on. And then just controlling the game in a way that meant we never had to have that panic.
I like the way they changed it up. They very clearly and very obviously changed it up and just said to you, no, come on then. And we're hitting on the break. We've got pace. Yeah. We're happy with that. We're comfortable. And that's the hallmark of a confident side.
Absolutely. Mm. You don't see Arsenal doing that too much. Good to see Sanchez and Walcott's having
Walcott had a superb game at centre forward. Really impressive with him. He's learning the role very well, and he's doing all the things you need to do in terms of bringing other players into it. And when those players are players like Ozil, Sanchez, and Cazorla buzzing around, that's you know, that can be really, really effective. And it just needs to be a catalyst for the whole season. Generally, we have a slow start, and then we pick it up when it's maybe already a little bit too late. If this can be the catalyst to stop that happening straight away, then hopefully Arsenal can actually put a proper title bid in. We're second, so there's no reason we can't.
Yeah.
And also, I really hope the players took a selfie for Roy Keane after the game.
Yeah. Among all this chat about the outstanding results and the weekend and the managerial merry-go-round, it should be noted that Big Pard's Palace beat West Brom. And he said after the game, which is a little bit disrespectful to Palace, "I won't ever let it rest until I'm done to get to one of the big clubs because I want a bigger percentage chance of winning."
It's like he's a football Scarface now.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is.
I mean, the funny thing is he's actually got a decent record at Palace. But then he goes, "Why wouldn't I?" "Well, because of the team that have just welcomed you in. They've treated you like a flipping deity. I really envy Brendan Rodgers," probably don't at the moment now, "and Jose Mourinho and everyone else. But that doesn't stop my determination to try and turn them over." It's Pard's behind this.
It's Pard's all over because we talked about how he's changed his behaviour because he wants the England job.
Well, maybe he wants the Liverpool job.
But his feet are barely under the desk and he's already bigging himself
up. It's super. Yeah. Well, the England one as well. So not only is he talking about the big sides in the Premier League, he then went on to talk about England saying, "If Roy Hodgson, and after Roy, somebody else, if ever turned up at my doorstep, I would say to the FA, I'll have one tournament." What? And then he went,
"That is not how it works."
And then he went,
"They don't just come round."
Yeah. Do they live in your house?
"All right, Roy, I'll have one tournament." "Oh, sorry, Alan, I got the wrong address."
He thinks he's Francesco Totti.
And then he goes, "I'll have one tournament. Let me have one tournament, win, lose or bust. And my money ends when that ends. I'd be happy with that."
Can I just say, there is no third option there. It's either win or lose.
Yeah.
What is, bust isn't in a that thing. Analogy, what does bust actually mean?
No. Oh, but he'd be happy with it.
Yeah. What? Bust surely means that it's so bad England aren't allowed to play international football anymore.
Yeah.
As a man who has made his feelings about not liking Alan Pardew very much quite clear, I remember when Barack Obama became the president, The Onion went with "Black man gets worst job in America." I just think, knock yourself out, Alan. Drink from the poison sippy cup that is the England
job.
Can I
just say, the only thing Alan Pardew would have taken from that story, if he were to be listening, was, "I think he's just compared me to Barack Obama."
Well, I probably could manage America for a bit and the American people.
I'd love a fleet of drones.
Do you think this is a... Yeah. Do you think this is, drone football would be great?
Yeah, well, it'd be dronal marking, Jim, of course.
Indeed.
Thank you.
He'd use them to look at ladies through windows. You know he would.
Sorry, Jim, please continue.
Yeah, I'll reel it back from that. Do you think this could be the point where it actually starts to go pear-shaped for Palace? Because generally when Pards makes eyes at other clubs and when his mind starts to go onto other things, the focus drops and then, you know, the results aren't as good.
I sat at Selhurst Park with a good friend of mine, Lee, and we watched Palace versus Shrewsbury in the League Cup. And he said to me, the way Pardew's been carrying himself the last couple of months since the season started and stuff, and how he will continue to carry himself, is because he's been told either by his agent or his friends, or he's just realised it himself, he's in the hunt for the next England manager.
Yeah.
And so I understand your point, but I think he's known about the England thing for a while, and I think he's trying his very hardest to get himself in the frame for that job. Yeah. When he had that set to a Pellegrini again this season, the way he handled himself compared to the way he did it beforehand was completely different. Mm. He lost his rag a little bit, then he went back over there, shook his hand, all that stuff. He knows he's in the hunt for the England job, and he knows how much he wants it and how much he thinks he can get it.
Yep.
And one thing we should say before we move on, without we can't let this go by without being mentioned, the trifle analogy was amazing.
Yeah.
It was so weird. Like, I've come here, it's a lovely trifle, and I'm just happy to be the cream on top of the trifle.
wasn't it the cream on the topping on the trifle? That is a man who does not know how to make a trifle.
It's a triple-decker trifle.
It's very good indeed. We're going to go abroad after this.
Hi, I'm Frank Dubuff. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
In La Liga, it had a Madrid derby. And it ended 1-1. Benzema got a nice little header, and then Vieto equalised late on, which sparked a wonderful celebration with Diego Simeone belting up the touchline to big Herman Burgos.
Yeah, Burgos is wearing a suit as well. He looks like a proper, like, heavy-duty mafia henchman in that suit.
He'd just come from a deal, hadn't he?
He's from stuffing someone into a car boot and then kicking it into a lake.
Allegedly.
if we're going to do mafia analogies, he's gone from senior footman to capo.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He's dressing like a capo now.
It was a good point for Atleti. I mean, they were 1-0 down, and they missed a penalty, the Griezmann.
Strange.
The penalties, save, the penalties we're talking about, because never has a world-class defender ever been able to flick a switch to go to Sunday League also-ran Sergio Ramos.
It was very cute play from Thiago, though, the way he sort of dinked it over, knowing that it was coming in.
Thiago's not the quickest.
He's a clever player.
He shouldn't have been up there.
He is a clever player.
He's about 50.
I am not interested in taking anything away from Thiago. He's had a great career, and he's really important to that Atletico Madrid side. He's been there a while, and we all know how good he is.
But what was he doing supporting the player, though?
The fact is, the matter is, Sergio Ramos had the ball at his own feet, playing for Real Madrid, 35 yards out from goal, and somehow conspired to turn that into a penalty for the opposite team.
And the way he conceded that penalty was taking the player down with his thigh.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Luckily for him, Keylor Navas was able to save the penalty, but it's incredible how he's the only sort of defender I can think of that can do that. I mean, it really is incredible. The man's got 130 international caps, and he can still look like he's out of his depth playing down the park with his younger brother's mates.
It's class, isn't it?
Like 15 red cards in his career as well?
At least.
So
it reminds me of Tim Krull's kicking. Like, he's a world-class goalkeeper. He can't kick. Always out for touch every time.
Did he phone in sick for that bit of coaching? So he just missed that bit.
I just think he can make a whole team
when you're older. La Liga's shaping up quite nice, actually. Obviously, Barcelona lost again. But Atleti and Madrid didn't look like they fancied the title this year on the back of that so much. And I think Villarreal lost, and they're still top. So, I'm sure normality will be resumed.
Would you not suggest, though, that a Madrid derby like that, I mean, it's such a fiercely contested game, both teams come out of that with a point. I don't think they'll be too disappointed.
A lot of derby games, especially big heated ones, sort of, you know, that form and logic go out of the window.
They do. They do indeed, Jim. They do indeed. In the Bundesliga, there was a top-of-the-table clash. Bayern beat Dortmund 5-1. I mean, people were saying, oh, this could be important. And obviously it is important, but Bayern, 5-1 against the second-best team so far in the league this season.
I don't feel like I'm emotionally recovered from Lewandowski's 5 goals against Wolfsburg to even like think about what he's doing now.
12-4.
Yeah, it's too many. It's too many, really.
Is that 12 Bundesliga goals?
No,
so
it was in the
Champions League as well, yeah.
Right, because I'm really interested to see what number he finishes with, because we see Ronaldo and Messi getting stats like this. I remember Mario Gomez always used to score a ridiculous amount of goals.
Well, he had a season where I think he got 40, although he's dropped way off.
Oh, yeah, of course. But
he's playing in Turkey. I think he's on loan at Besiktas.
But he's not actually that old, either.
Was it Fenerbahce? I forget.
He's definitely moved on, he's definitely moved on. But yeah, he went through. Well, the thing about Gomez at the time, which was interesting, was you're right, he hit about 40 goals, and people were still sort of saying, not sure what he really does.
Well, he scored goals, didn't he? Yeah. He's an Inzaghi-type character.
Yeah, but that's a great comparison, yeah. Not the same player, but similar sort of attributes. Skills,
I mean, he did feature for Germany in Euro 2012, but they're blessed with players. Mm.
But still, Lewandowski is looking like breaking that. I mean, you know, it'd be amazing if he can keep up that sort of form. But he is an amazing player. We've seen it so many times. He's scored so many different types of goals. And Bayern are just flying at the moment.
They are. I mean, it almost seems to be irrelevant, but Aubameyang scored again for Dortmund, 8-8. He's got...
I think it's 14-14 in all competitions.
Oh, is that right? Sorry, he's scored in his 8th consecutive Bundesliga game this season.
Haven't Bayern set a record too?
Which record was that, Jim?
It's something like about the most goals in the first 8 games or some mad thing like that. I mean, it's easy to say, like, oh, Bayern Munich are playing really well, but even by their own mad standards, they're killing it.
Their goal difference is 24, 18-4. Yes, sorry, 18-4 and 4 against, I think, something like that. That doesn't work, does it?
No.
Either way, the goal difference is plus 24.
Indeed, yeah. But they're just ridiculous. And at the minute, looking at the domestic leagues, they are the team to beat in Europe in the Champions League, aren't they?
Yeah. We've got to try and beat them twice in a row.
Good luck, Gunners.
We need it.
Well, it's going to be typical. I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of all Arsenal fans, but Arsenal will go an amazing round of Premier League, get knocked out of the Champions League, get some just terrible Europa League run, and it just scuppers them.
Yeah, well, we've never been in the Europa League since...
It looks likely they're going to come third now in their group.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder, will we maybe even be better off going out of it? I don't want to disrespect it, but, you know,
free.
Yeah, we are. Anyway, now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Luke.
I'm over here. That was a bit unenthusiastic, you guys, and I got told off for being unenthusiastic about this before. So, hello, everyone.
Hey!
That's better.
It's the highlights.
Thank you very much. Mm. What have we got here? Richard Coles. Now, this is an interesting one. Richard Coles has been in touch. I feel like he's a regular contributor, but he says, my highlight of the week was being a part of a 400-strong crowd on Friday night for an FA Vars second qualifying round tie between Atherton Collieries and Atherton Leburnham Rovers for what is known as the Flat Cap Derby.
Oh, nice.
The man of the match is traditionally and actually presented with a flat cap.
Great.
Lovely.
That's great.
That is beautiful.
Good. Yeah, and in a world of a sport where you actually get caps for international appearances, I think that's a nice little touch.
I do.
Rob Nugent says, my highlight was Paz describing himself as the cream on top of Palace's trifle. We've already talked about that. Rich Brown has been in touch on Twitter saying he alleges that a Stoke fan was kicked out of Villa Park for running on the pitch to celebrate a goal, which was subsequently ruled out for offside. That is a terrible day at the office, because I think I'm right in saying you get banned for invading the pitch.
Yeah.
So he's basically been banned at least for the rest of the season, probably lost his season ticket for an offside goal. Joshua Cool says, realising that Jan Mavilla looks like Richard Blackwood, which he genuinely
does.
It's a great spot.
Like,
that's the best spot, best lookalike spot since Ashley Young and Marlo Stanfield from The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
Need a man.
Ewan Rowe has been in touch saying, I found out this week that if Alberto Moreno was British, he'd be called Albert Brown.
Nice.
Great name.
What did Moreno?
Moreno's brown in Spanish, apparently.
All right.
Send your emails in to complain if not.
You're literally the only Spanish speaker in the room, Marcus.
Would you like a... would you like a Where is David O'Leary update?
Of course!
Yeah, someone's been in touch.
He was in the Middle East last time.
You could just assume that's a yes.
Okay. I'll take that as read for next time. Jack's been in touch via email. He says, I remember you asking after a certain ex-lead manager a few weeks back, and my dad told me this the other day, so I thought I'd pass it along. David O'Leary was on TalkSport a few years back being interviewed after being sacked by Al Ahly in 2011 and picking up over £3 million in compensation. He decided to spend his time giving emotional and logistical support to his son, who had aimed to pursue a tennis career. Nothing ever really came of it, though. Hope that helps. Lots of love, Jack.
That's nice, though.
Yeah, so that last sighting, David O'Leary was helping his son
being
pursue a tennis career.
Dad. Come being on, a terrifying
come on,
tennis
son.
Dad.
Yeah, my babies.
Well, literally.
Yeah, my actual baby.
My highlight was Ronaldinho driving his car into a ditch. Nobody was hurt. Don't worry, it was fine.
The ditch might have been hurt, Marcus. You don't know.
Was the party he was inevitably on the way to postponed?
No, they just brought the party to the ditch.
I'll call the
sister in the car.
I'll call the cab.
Yeah. Well, apparently he's obviously left Fluminense after 9 games. Yeah. Amazing it got to 9.
Yeah,
quite frankly.
Is that what he was doing? At the time, just on his
leaving.
Just leaving.
Yeah, maybe.
Just driving to a different club, one.
What was so funny about the incident, you can look at this picture online, it's brilliant, is immediately after the incident, he got out of the car, and this young lad asked him for a selfie.
Yeah, nice.
And to be fair to him, the first one, he obviously looking a bit bemused, and then he's smiling away, and he just crashes his car.
It was at the side of a motorway, though. It looked like, like, what's there a kid doing on a motorway with Ronaldinho?
Ronaldinho, though, we don't know where he's going to... easy. His brother and agent said recently, because where is he going to go now? I mean, he's got so much to offer in terms of, socialising.
Player manager at Sunderland.
Yeah.
Player with an A, with a second A.
That's right. His brother and agent said, we're studying the offers that are coming in. Studying.
Reading.
Yeah. Because I'd imagine the small print would be enormous.
This is a load of party invites.
Yeah. Will he retire? Are you crazy? You'll have more surprises yet.
Oh, good.
Brilliant. That is a wonderful promise.
Yeah. So that was
he's kept me interested there.
There we go. That was my highlight. And also more pressure being put on Sepp Blatter. But we just have not had any time to talk about that. It's been busy.
Cool.
We'll get a bumper weekend. Luke, have we got a website round?
Yeah, before we go, this is what's happening on thefootballramble.com at the moment. Mm. Incredible scenes this week where you can see Sky Sports finally justify their existence, what it might look like if a Pete Donaldson answer to an opening question was made flesh, why Klopp to Liverpool was essential to maintaining peace and quiet in England, essentially because that means he can't go to Arsenal. And that Reading song in full, which is very good. That Reading song, if you haven't seen it, is absolutely fantastic. The story on that, just quickly, is that I think the wife or mother maybe of the Reading owner decided to write a song about Reading.
I thought that was the lady singing it in the video, and then I googled her name, and she's at least 40 years older than that.
No, yeah, it's not. It's bad. It's as bad as you could imagine it would possibly be, and then even more. Let me put it another way. It's the worst football-related song since when Aston Villa got to that cup final and put that song out with that X Factor girl.
Yep.
You know,
we're the Championis.
Yeah, it's as bad as that. Go look at it on thefootballramble.com and follow Kelly, our editor there, Kelly_Wells on Twitter, the always excellent Kelly Wells.
That's it. And of course, if you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and obviously the website is thefootballramble.com. And don't forget, listeners in the United States of America, you can hear us twice a week now on Sirius XM FC Channel 85. This show you've just heard goes out on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and the brand new Football Ramble phone-in airs every Thursday also at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Football Ramble phone in every Thursday. Can't wait.
Imagine
exciting
that.
Time.
Reach out and
week.
Touch us with your voices.
There we are. It's been bloody lovely having you back, Jim.
Thanks. Lovely being back.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.